Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing Podcast, where I, your host, Katya Allison, get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in this wonderful world of marketing. Now, today, John Horn joins me for today's episode. Now, John is the CEO of Stub Group, which is a leading digital advertising agency and a premier Google ad agency. With over 2,000 clients and 15,000 campaigns under his belt, he has helped generate over $500 million in revenue for businesses across various sectors, including e-commerce, lead generation, and local services. Now, he's also a very passionate educator. You'll be able to tell that based on the insights that he drops. He's taught digital advertising for more than 100,000 students through online courses and his widely viewed YouTube videos. Now, today we talk about the ins and outs of Google Ads and PPC marketing strategies. He shares his career journey, talks about the challenges and the rewards of his role as a CEO, and what it takes to navigate digital advertising. More importantly, we explore key issues like the importance of having a compelling product market fit, my friends, the necessity of regular campaign monitoring, and common pitfalls advertisers should avoid when starting with Google Ads. You know, I like to deliver insights in every conversation, and this episode really promises to deepen your understanding of effective advertising strategies. He provides actionable advice on using search term reports and strategic use of keywords to maximize your ad campaigns. As a listener, you're going to walk away with ways to elevate your PPC marketing efforts to drive results. So grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing. John, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. Excited to have you on here so we can kind of dig into Google Ads and PPC.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to digging in.
Well, let's start digging in. Let's have our audience get to know you a little bit better. I always start off with my tried and true questions. What was your first marketing role? Whether it had marketing in the title or it didn't, what was your first marketing role?
Very first marketing role was writing product descriptions and little bits and pieces for, you know, small retailer that sold products, trying to get good SEO ranking and get people to purchase what they were selling.
Ooh, that's an interesting origin for marketing. And you caught the bug doing that?
Yeah, caught the bug. I've always enjoyed, you know, communicating in writing and outside of that as well. And so kind of got the bug there and then moved through different roles until landing at Stub Group, where I am today.
Amazing. Now, what is your current role? You said Stub Group?
Yes. So current role Stub Group, I'm the CEO of a digital advertising agency. So we work with all different types of businesses, helping them manage their paid advertising campaigns online, Google Ads, Meta Ads, other platforms like that, and ultimately trying to make them a lot more money than the amount they are spending to the platforms in their ad spend budgets.
I love that. You got to show them there's a good return on investment on what it is that they're doing. Now, tell me, what is it that you love about what you do, but also be mentally and emotionally prepared? I want to know the negative also. What, if anything, would you pluck out if you could? So let's start with the positive. What do you love about what you currently do?
I love the feeling that comes when we are doing a really good job for our clients and we're able to show that to them and get their feedback and know that we're literally putting bread on the tables of businesses by helping mm-hmm. them bring in revenue, bring in orders, helping them create jobs. And it's just very fulfilling to get that feedback from clients and say, yes, we're doing good work and it's having real impact in the lives of our clients.
Yeah, their success is your success. There's nothing like that, which is fantastic. But what would you pluck out if there's anything? If I had my magic wand and I was like, I will take care of this for you, John, what would you remove?
I think the worst part of the CEO job, which is also very important, is identifying people who should no longer be part of the team and having those tough conversations. You know, we hire a lot of people on board. We're always trying to look for the best and brightest and make sure that we, you know, do everything we can to have the right culture fit when people come on board. But there's only so much you can figure out before you start working with people. And so sometimes you have to have those hard conversations and say, you know what, we're not the right fit. So if I could avoid having those conversations, that'd be awesome. But I can't, because that's my job. And it's a crucial part of running a successful company and making sure that I'm doing right by the rest of our team and keeping the company healthy so that their jobs remain safe and they have upward mobility in their careers.
That is a bit of a sucky job or sucky part of the job, right? Like, because it's true, you just kind of never know. And it doesn't matter how long you are in business, it's always going to be the same thing. Like when push comes to shove, people will start to show their true colors once you've hired them, no matter how thorough the vetting process is. Because I know, I think like in my beginnings, it was like maybe a couple of interviews. And nowadays it's worked from teams to groups to, are you the right fit? I think it was easier finding my husband. I won't go on the record for that. I love you, babe, just in case you're listening. Now, I would also imagine that in your business, it's really important that you stay up to date with the trends, especially with Google Ads. So tell me, how are you staying up to date with like what is happening, not just on Google, but just anything that could impact what it is you're doing from a marketing perspective?
Yeah, so a number of different sources. So first, you got industry sources. SearchEngineLand.com is my favorite website for just collating everything that's kind of in our space and what's going on. Obviously, direct updates too from Google or Meta they send out. And then X or Twitter, depending on what you want to call it, is a great source. Lots of good communities on there. Lots of information always being shared back and forth. And then also some agency groups I'm a part of, Slack groups where, you know, it's like, hey, what's going on here? What's your thoughts? Or, hey, did you guys hear about this? So lots of different data, kind of data streams coming in to try and make sure that we know what Google and everybody else are up to, because it's always changing every day.
Well, I'm going to touch on that towards the end of our podcast, but let's dive into Google Ads and PPC to begin with. And I'm going to hit you with a question right off the bat in regards to ROI. Now, I think I'd like to know your thoughts on what the key is to see. Obviously, we want a high ROI, but what it takes to really see a return on investment with Google Ads? What are the things that you need to kind of have in place?
So I'm going to say the basics. And what I mean by the basics is, even before you get into the advertising side of things, you have to have a product and service that people actually want and that is priced appropriately and that you know, you have enough credibility elements behind to sell. Because a lot of advertisers, a lot of businesses, they kind of look at ads as this magic bullet that if you throw money at the wall, people will come in, buy my product, I'll make lots of money. But the reality is, no, we can amplify a good thing. We can amplify a message, amplify a product, get you in front of the right people, but you have to have something that's compelling and that people actually need and want and are going to have a good experience with. And that is the most key and most basic, but often sometimes missed, I would say, aspect of successful advertising campaigns.
So I've done my homework. I have the right product. I have found product market fit. What then is next for me? And I think like this really speaks to like the smaller business and maybe even some medium sized businesses of like, I know I've got the product right. Oh my goodness. Questions or words are all out of order. I know I have the right product market fit, but what do I need to have in place so that I can, and maybe it's not in place. Like what are maybe the key elements to really seeing that return on investment with Google Ads or any PPC?
Yeah. So the next big question I'm going to ask is the product or service that's being sold, are people looking for it? Are they searching for it? Or do we need to make them aware that it exists? So for example, you know, let's say you're a roofer. People need new roofs. They're going to go to Google and search for new roofs. So you should be on Google in front of them when they search for that. If you have, you know, a really cool new piece of clothing that you want to, you know, advertise to the right type of person, they probably aren't searching for that on Google. They don't know it's a thing. Or if they are, it may be too expensive to reach them. So you might want to do, you know, Facebook, Instagram, find the right demographics and show, you know, creative, show imagery to say, hey, look at this cool piece of clothing. So you want to figure out, you know, is it kind of push marketing or pull marketing? For most businesses, it's going to be a combination. For most businesses, some people are searching for what you're doing. And so often you'll start with what I call that low-hanging fruit. So the people who are telling me right now, I want your product, I want your service, by typing into Google, you know, searches that tell me they're looking for what I want or what I sell. Awesome. Let's capture that first, make sure we're getting good ROI from that. And then let's, you know, scale beyond that and say, okay, what are the people who are relevant to me? Maybe they're not searching for it quite yet, but I can find them through YouTube or through Facebook or fill in the blank and show them that I have a great solution for their needs.
Oh, I love that. That's good advice. Now, what do you think are some kind of common pitfalls that companies run into when they want to even start with Google Ads and PPC?
One of the biggest, I would say, is not defining what success is going to look like and having a process in place to track that. So there's always an aspect of, yes, if you have, you know, no data, no experience, you're going to have to throw some stuff at the wall and see what sticks. But you also need to have at least senses of benchmarks of what can I afford to pay to acquire a new customer? You know, what's my lifetime value of customers, things like that, and be able to then parlay that into, okay, well, here's, you know, roughly the types of conversion rates and cost per clicks and so forth I would need to see from campaigns in order to be in the realm of profitability and have an opportunity to optimize to where I'm making good money. So expectations is important, and then the measuring of that. So one of the beautiful things with digital advertising is there's a lot of things that we can measure. Not everything, it's not perfect in this world, but a lot of things. When someone clicks on an ad for one of our clients, we have a very good sense of what happens next. Do they fill out a form on the website? Do they place a purchase? Do they make a phone call and have a conversation over the phone? We can track all those things and track it back to the campaigns. And that's how you make the campaigns better, because you see, all right, these keywords are driving orders. These aren't. Let's stop spending money on the ones that aren't working, double down on what's working. And that's how you make the campaigns perform better over time and scale profitably.
I like that. Now, from a Google Ads perspective or a PPC, what are your thoughts on the balance between search and display ads? Like, is there a good sweet spot, like from a percentage perspective, of like 70% should be, you know, your search ads, 30% should be display ads? I mean, because I know that typically from a display ads, that is much more visual, and it's not much more, it is visual. And you expect almost a lower return on investment from like a lead conversions perspective than you would from like search ads. And maybe we can't break it down to like a 70-30%, because like with most marketing things, I would imagine that it depends on what your brand is, what your goal is, and all of that stuff. But do you find that there is a sweet spot, or is there a world where you can just do search or just do display?
Fantastic question. So generally, I look at it as a funnel, and I look to work our way up the funnel. So search is usually going to be the most productive, most effective use of our money in most cases. So I want to capture as much of the relevant search volume as I can at, you know, levels that are profitable for our client, and kind of max that out, tap that out as much as possible first. Then from there, it's the other channels where you can try to scale and go find new people who, again, aren't searching for what you're looking for. That's where display or YouTube or things like that would come in. With display, and for those, you know, watching or listening to this who aren't familiar with what display means on the Google side of things, Google's display network is basically their program where they show ads across tons and tons of websites online, millions of websites and apps. So if you go on, you know, most websites and you see a video ad or an image ad running, there's a very good chance it's actually running from Google. Yeah. Now, the quality of a lot of those ads and placements, unfortunately, is pretty suspect these days. I've seen many, many situations where display campaigns just don't drive good results because there's so much bot traffic, fraudulent traffic going on, as well as, just like you mentioned, people who are less likely to convert because they're in a different place, or maybe they accidentally clicked on an ad. You have a publisher trying to, you know, make it easy for people to click on ads so that they make money, etc. So there's a place for display. Usually my favorite place for display is remarketing. So serving ads on Google's display network to people who've already been to my website. Because then I know, hey, it's real people. They've been to my website. They're already semi-qualified and that they know what I'm offering. And for whatever reason, they haven't taken the action I want them to take, haven't picked up the phone or placed an order or whatever. So I'm going to serve ads to them to remind them, to keep my brand front of mind for them, give them offers to come back and convert. And then outside of that, YouTube is generally where I'm going to spend more time than straight up the Google Display Network, because YouTube is super powerful. A lot of reach, you can reach a lot of people in a very cost-effective way, and it's video. Video is incredibly powerful. And so usually kind of my scaling is, all right, search and remarketing on the Display Network, and then YouTube above that.
Oh, I love that breakdown. And so I just finished asking you like the whole percentage breakdown of like the search and display. I have another percentage, or maybe it is not a percentage question, in regards to budget. Now, because it does depend on like who your brand is and your goals and all of that stuff, do you lean more towards, especially if you're getting started, start with X amount of dollars so that you get some learnings under your belt? Or is it more apt to go by percentage of like revenue when you're getting started? What do you think?
That's a fantastic question. A little bit. So kind of the first, but I will nuance that. So the way I think about it really is about how much data do we need to collect in order to prove concept, in order to see what's working, what's not working, and improve. So for one business, you might say, hey, I can spend $500 a month, and based upon, you know, my small geography I'm targeting, based upon the cost per clicks and whatnot, I can actually get enough data from that to see if this is going to work and to be able to optimize. Whereas for another business, you might say, no, you need to spend $10,000 a month to collect enough data because of how competitive the space is. So I really look at it as that, and then as a here's a dollar amount you need to spend to be successful. And then the advertiser obviously wants to think about, okay, how much money am I making? And if you're like, hey, I'm making $10,000 a year and I want to spend $10,000 a month in advertising, I'm not there yet. So obviously then you got to factor that into, into the bottom line numbers.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think like we almost as marketers have to be able to balance, you know, the budget out for sure. And then also just kind of, I don't know the best way to articulate this, but to me, it's also balancing what you are spending your sweat equity on and what you can outsource as well too. So what are your thoughts on, because, well, I mean, your company does it, you guys run people's, you know, ads. At what point, or are you seeing some trends as to like the people that are coming to you for like, hey, I just don't even want to hire someone for this. This is something that I can outsource. Like, what kind of advice do you have for people who are listening in regards to, you know, either do it in-house or outsource?
Yeah. So I certainly have bias, like you said, because I run an advertising agency. So I see a lot of benefits in outsourcing. But I would say, you know, the couple things to keep in mind. So a lot of the advertisers we work with, you know, we're working directly with the owner of the company, maybe the marketing manager, someone who, like you said, has limited time, limited sweat equity, and they have to figure out where to invest that. And often I'll use the analogy of, look, if your sink is leaking, you could go and spend a couple hours and try and figure out how to fix it yourself and maybe flood your house and risk lots of problems. Or you could pay some money to have a plumber come and do it for you, and you spend your time on other things you're better at. And, you know, it's kind of a hacky analogy, but in many ways that also applies to what we do. Yes, people can DIY Google Ads management and everything. The platforms are there. They can log in. Google makes it really easy to spend money with Google. Like, it's not hard to do that at all. What is hard is to spend it profitably and effectively. Yeah. And, you know, time and again, we'll have people come to us who tried the DIY and either said, oh, this doesn't work. And the reality is, we don't know yet if it works or not, because they just didn't run it correctly. Or they're like, hey, I'm bleeding money, I need help, what do I do? And so it's helpful to have someone who is spending all day, every day, figuring out the nuances of each platform and has, you know, a decade of experience seeing what works, what doesn't work, to be able to just shortcut those things for you as a business owner, and then let you focus your time on building your business and the other things that come outside of Google Ads.
I actually love that analogy of a sink dripping, because it's so true. I think it's so relatable. We've all been there. Not that I've fixed a sink, but there are many kind of quote unquote sinks in my life that I can go back to. Like, I can do it myself, but will I save myself a headache time and ultimately money too, right? Because your sweat equity as an owner is something, but also as a marketer as well too. Most marketing teams are relatively small. So you have to see like, what's the talent that I have? Is this something that we can do in-house so that that person is living and breathing it? Because you want to also be reactive, which makes me want to go in and double click on something you said in regards to like someone saying, you know, it's not working. One of the things that I found, because I have an agency background, is communicating to the brands, the companies, the CEOs, like how much time it does take, because there is natural learning that has to happen when you're first getting started, of course, at least 30 days so that you can start collecting and it can start learning. But how do you bridge that conversation of like, okay, you have to give us at least 90 days. Is it 60 days? Is it 15 days? Like, they have to go into it with those right expectations. So have you found like a sweet spot of like, okay, we can tell it's going in the right direction by this number of days or range?
Yeah, fantastic question. We usually answer that in two parts. So the first is we're going to very quickly know if we are getting any kind of traction or traffic. So this isn't the SEO world where, you know, you write an article and you hope 6 months from now it's going to rank. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. You know, with paid advertising, you can put your ad out there, and if people aren't clicking on it in a day or two, then you know what you're doing right now is not working. You've got to iterate on it and fix it. So that's beautiful. But very much like you said, just because you're getting traffic and people interacting with your ads doesn't mean that's turning into dollars in the door day one. Mm-hmm. Usually it's not. So generally we ask clients to give us 3 months initially to, you know, really collect the data, make a lot of improvements during that time. You know, we plan to be hitting their goals before the end of those 3 months, but at least having 3 months to test different things, see what's working, what's not working, and have the right trajectory in place at the end of that 3 months to say, hey, this is working really well. We should continue working together and keep building upon this.
I'd like to double click on the testing part of it, because one of the things that is a big question mark for me is when you're running the ads and you feel like you've gotten enough information to be able to make those tweaks and maybe do some testing, how much time do you give yourself as someone that's executing it to like evaluate, yes, this test is working, or no, it's not? You obviously can't wait like 90 days, and nor would you want to, but like, that's what I kind of wonder.
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. I was actually just talking with one of our team members earlier today about this and framing this. And again, it really comes down to how much data. So I love to have at least, you know, 100 clicks of X when I am looking at a test at the bare minimum. So I can say, okay, we have 100 clicks of whatever it is, an ad copy test, a landing page test, fill in the blank. And what's our conversion rate? You know, what's the response rate look like, this version versus that version, and being able to make a decision. Now, for one client, it might take them a month to get 100 clicks. Another client, that might be a day. So it's really, in my mind, less about time, more about quantity of data. And that is also why when you invest more budget initially, you can test more quickly, because you're collecting that data more quickly. You can make more quick decisions. It doesn't mean you should just throw tons and tons of money at things initially. I'm very much a believer of again, low-hanging fruit, start conservatively and build your way up. But if you're too conservative, you can also hamstring yourself by just stretching out that testing period to again, see what's working and what's not working.
I love that. Now I'm going to shift the conversation a little bit in a different direction. And I really was excited about talking to you about this, because to me, a lot of marketers that I'm talking to, and then also a lot of social, you know, like marketing bites that I get, are touching on the recent changes in Google and the impact it has to marketers. I'd love to first get your perspective on like what impact those Google changes have had, if at all, to just kind of your strategy in executing Google ads.
Yeah, I would say the biggest visible change that consumers see when they're just searching on Google that Google has made recently is introducing AI overviews. And this is a massive change, because it's the first thing that often comes up when people search. And often, you know, questions are answered, information is presented through those AI overviews before people even get to the first link or the first ad. What I would say is, in terms of impacting the ad side of things, I haven't seen that have a massive impact, because a lot of the questions that people are asking that AI overviews answer are already not really mercantile questions that necessarily they're going to click on ads for. So if you're asking, what's the tallest building in New York, or you know, who won the XY World Series, they're already not serving ads for that. So it's really just a difference of where organically people get that information. That's obviously a generalization. There certainly is some impact. I think the biggest thing that we're watching right now is to see how Google is going to integrate ads into those AI overviews, because I think that's going to happen. Google likes making money, and they have a track record of integrating ads wherever they can. And so that may be the next big frontier on the advertising side of things, is once that's an option, okay, how do we make sure that we're being incorporated into that section? And so when someone says, what's the best umbrella? Cool, it's this one. Oh, I can click here to go buy the umbrella. We're the ones selling the umbrella through that slot.
So it's an interesting perspective on the Google change that you focused on, for one. I think my thought was, I had assumed that those Google changes would impact your business positively, because now people are in maybe this is a technical term, you know, like an oh shit moment of like, hey, hold on. Like, now I have to have, like, I need time to ensure that the content that I'm creating is something that does rank. And I've always found that Google Ads is a great balance with SEO, because SEO takes a little bit longer. So have you seen more shifts of like ad dollars going to pay-per-click, just because like they need to be able to balance that out, and they don't want to have like that huge organic hit?
That's a great question. I can't say that I've seen a direct correlation of that yet. We've had lots of clients talking about it, talking about the AI overviews, talking about from the organic side of things, how do we get in there? But I can't say yet that I've seen it making a big impact on the paid ad side of things. Probably to some extent, because Google already had their featured snippets and knowledge graphs that were usually at the top of the page even prior to AI overviews, where they would basically pick one winner and that publisher got that slot. And so now people are certainly the one winner who maybe had that slot before is having a big impact, because now there's multiple people that are being referenced by the AI overview. But I expect probably over time, as people kind of more figure out how the AI overviews are going to work and figure out whether they can get into those spots or not with their own links, we may see the impact, the advertising side of things. But I wouldn't say I've seen a huge swing yet.
It'll be really interesting to see over the course of the year if it does have that type of impact, because I guess, you know, the changes have been, it's been relatively, I mean, like, I don't want to say recent, because it's not recent, but it's within this year that so much of that has happened. So it'll be interesting to see if there are some changes. So report back to us, please.
Will do.
I would also love for you to leave our listeners with some tips on just executing Google Ads successfully, because I think it's one of these things that everyone from the outside in, it must seem like it's really easy, you know, like, oh, I just find a few keywords, I write a few ads, and then it's not. And I think when you do it well, it should be incredibly thoughtful and very strategic. So what are some tips that you can leave people with?
Yeah, I'll give two very, very specific tips for advertisers. So if you are running Google Ads, first of all, be paying a lot of attention to your search terms report. So that's the list of words that people are actually typing into Google to trigger your ads. And that can often be very different from your keywords, because you might have a keyword where you think, oh, I'm targeting this word. But Google, they love to be, we'll call it flexible, and match all sorts of different things to that. And so you may spend some time in there and realize, oh, wait, I'm spending money on a bunch of traffic that I don't want. I know this is not going to convert. And so I need to add what they call negative keywords to prevent my ads from being triggered by those search terms. So that's just a very tactical tip, number one. Tip number two, also somewhat similar to that, when you are running keywords, so in your search campaigns, you're defining, okay, I want my ads to serve for these specific words or these specific phrases. There are a couple of different match types that you can select, which is how much flexibility Google has in matching lots of different search terms to your keywords. And just be really careful when you use what they call broad match keywords. There are there are certainly places to use it. We've got plenty of accounts where they work well. They work better than they used to back in the day. So I don't want to unduly diss them. But especially for newer accounts that don't have much data yet and that are just starting, be really careful about using that match type because you, again, may wind up with tons of irrelevant search terms you're paying money for and you're not able to collect the data to see what works and what doesn't because it's all going to trash traffic that is never going to convert for you.
Those are incredibly helpful tips. I've got one final question for you. And that question is, if you knew then what you know now, what is the marketing or non-marketing advice that you give to yourself?
I would say, going back to kind of starting my career in marketing, I would encourage myself to think much bigger picture when it comes to relationships with clients. So it's really easy. You know, I come from a technical kind of background. I'm very comfortable just working within the platforms, you know, looking at nuances of keywords and things. And those are all very important. You got to execute well, but you also have to think, okay, well, again, that product market fit, that what is the client trying to communicate? What are their competitors doing? How does their messaging look compared to competitors? And then, you know, just how is their business going? You know, do they understand their margins? Are they in a good place, a bad place? How can I help them figure out where they're at so that we can course correct now versus 3 months from now, they realize they're actually not making money because they misunderstood their margins and they have to cancel with us, even though we're hitting their goals, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So just try to.
You're going down that rabbit hole. It definitely can be. I think client relationships, obviously from an agency perspective, are so incredibly key. And I love the fact that you ask them questions to get them thinking about what they need to think about. Because I sometimes think that is something that's missed in client relationships. We speak to them as if they are marketers, but they are not marketers. There is a different way to ask them a question of like what their goals are or like what even their keywords are, right? Like I think there's so much that can be said about, you know, tell me about your business. You know, how do people talk about it? How do people talk about this product? What are the terms that are used? That also can really help you structure the right ads that hit the nail on the head and instantly, well, maybe not instantly, but more quickly better convey the value that you're going to bring to, you know, potential future customers. Well, John, I cannot thank you enough for, you know, dropping these knowledge bombs on us. I think that you've left our listeners with some really great tips and very, very helpful insights.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on. Really enjoy the conversation.
I hope you found this episode just as insightful as I did. I am ready to dive into the key takeaways with you. I've got three of them per usual. The first one is Google Ads are not a magic bullet. Now, we talked about the crucial role of having well-crafted product or service before diving into Google Ads. A lot of businesses make this mistake of thinking ads are a magic bullet for increasing revenue, right? All I have to do is start Google Ads and the money's going to come pouring in. But that's actually not the key. Ads, Google or others, really are there to amplify a compelling product that genuinely meets customer needs. Again, product market fit. Understanding the fundamentals of your offering, like appropriate pricing and credibility, is part of creating a successful advertising campaign. Now, John pointed out that you need a product or service that really resonates with your audience and provides them with a valuable experience. This is a fundamental truth in marketing. Without a strong offering, even the best advertising campaigns can fall flat. You gotta know your audience and you have to make sure you're meeting their needs. That is the magic bullet. See how I turned that one around? I did take some notes, so I want to make sure that I get to all of them. As I scroll, for those that are just listening, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Let's dive into my second key takeaway. My second key takeaway is don't set it and forget it. So I've already said ads are not the magic bullet. We've got that locked in, which means that they need to be tended to. Regular monitoring and optimizing your Google ad campaigns. That's what it means. As an advertiser, you should pay close attention to your search term reports to really understand which keywords are triggering your ads. When you're not vigilant, about this, you risk spending money on irrelevant traffic due to not excluding negative keywords, right? What you don't want to make sure you come up with, that's what negative keywords are. Now, John had a really great recommendation. His advice was to run an initial ad campaign for at least 3 months to gather sufficient data for improvements. Aim to achieve a kind of defined success metric or metrics by the end of this period. This is what gives you that base to compare it with. For anybody that's listening that has not yet done ads or is looking to revamp it, this is a great strategy for really collecting the data and seeing what resonates out there with your audience. Do a little A/B testing. Now, in short, getting the ad together and starting it is really only the first couple of steps. Regular monitoring and iterating on what you started are the next steps. And it's just like this continuous infinite loop. Now, avoiding the pitfalls. Here is my list of pitfalls, and I've got six of them. I tried to narrow it down to five so I could have a nice high five hands, but I've got six. Six of them, so get your pen and paper ready, my friends. The pitfalls that you want to avoid with Google Ads. One, not defining success. Two, lacking clear benchmarks. Three, failing to measure key metrics. Four, using broad match keywords without enough data. Five, not allowing enough time for data collection. It's not meant to be, again, either a magic bullet or something that just happens overnight. So allow enough time to collect the data. And six, don't treat Google Ads like the savior. It's only part of the strategy. The way to avoid a majority of these is to set clear goals and measure your performance regularly. Now, what did you take away from today's episode? I want to hear. Post it on the Let's Talk Marketing LinkedIn page or YouTube channel. Leave it in a review on Apple. Slide into my DMs. Let's keep this conversation going. A very special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Ike. And thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic, but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.